Hello and welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast. I'm your host, David Haragliate. I'm joined by a different guest each week and we discuss themes like leadership, business, balance, and also explore some of the global issues that affect their particular sector. If you already know the show, welcome back and thank you for listening. If you're just discovering the podcast, hello and welcome. Before we go any further, I'd like to ask a favor. If you're enjoying the show, please like it on social media and hit follow on whichever player you are listening from. This really helps us grow the show. The Gibraltar Business Podcast is brought to you by the GFSB and is sponsored by Gibraltar International Bank, a bank that truly shares our passion for business. Today on the podcast, we welcome Seamus Byrne, the CEO of Gibraltar Cultural Services. Seamus needs no introduction. He's got an extensive background in organizing major social, cultural, and leisure events, including Gibraltar National Days, the Fair, La Feria, Christmas Wonderland, and international dance festivals. His journey from volunteer to key figure in Gibraltar's cultural calendar demonstrates his commitment to community and cultural development and offers valuable insights into leadership and event organization. We often talk about the link between business and culture, and this show will hopefully kind of explore that in a bit more depth. Later in the episode, MJ Feek from Radiance Clinic pops in for our GFSB member shout out. So Seamus, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
We just spoke a bit off recording about how long it's taken me to get you on the show, so actually it's great to have you here, so brilliant.
Great to be here.
Seamus, a lot of people know you from Verte la Crónica, from The Chronicle. You and your events are always in the media. But can you outline your journey from the start of how you became the CEO of Gibraltar Cultural Services?
Well, my journey began in the civil service in 1999. I was very, very blessed to join the civil service. I started working at the social services department, and Minister at the time, Yvette Del Agua, knew that I was very, very experienced in the events field because I used to organize many, many events when I was a young person under the Gibraltar Youth Service. And therefore, the government needed support with the Fair and National Day. So I joined the team in 2000 to organize the Fair National Day, something which I now have been organizing for 24 years. Yeah, it all started there. Then I was further blessed joining the Ministry of Culture in 2003. And since then, working myself up the ranks in the civil service and public service. In 2011, the government decided to create an agency out of the Ministry of Culture. And then the birth of cultural services was in July 2014. When we created this agency authority to be able to run all government's cultural facilities and all cultural events in Gibraltar. And then in 2016, our CEO at the time, Yvette Saab, decided to retire. So I was fortunate enough to become a designate. And then in 2018, I became officially the CEO in January 2018, 1st of February actually. 2018, I became the CEO of Gibraltar Cultural Services with my energy, enthusiasm and vision, which I tried to bring to the table.
I think that definitely comes through, right? Because I very much know about GCS, just for short, so Gibraltar Cultural Services. And I'm sure that, like, all of our listeners have attended either events that you guys have run or taken part in initiatives too. You run so many events. No parai. Do you know how many? How many events do you run a year? Do you know? Or
approximately? Well, we Gibraltar Cultural Services runs under a contractual obligation with His Majesty's Government of Gibraltar. It has a schedule of all the events that we will have to organize. You can see in the Chronicle, we're out in the press. The Chronicle itself, GBC, we're out there every day, really, or every odd day. We have a press statement in the Chronicle because we're always organizing something, whether it's events, whether it's our cultural facilities, whether it's our development program, which is thriving. And I don't know, we've got more than 50 events a year, easily.
Oh, I bet. Because, you know, if you look at like, how many weeks are out a year, you're doing definitely more than that. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. But part of that question is because I know the Minister Santos recently made a statement that he wanted to place cultural events in the centre of his tourism strategy, etc. What's your response? Can you handle the extra events?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. I tend to agree. I tend to agree with that statement because I've been calling, as a public servant, I've been calling for years now that tourism, culture, sport, business should all be intertwined. At the end of the day, it should be about Team Gibraltar. Yeah. It should be about Gibraltar PLC. It's not about culture doing their own thing and sport doing their own thing and tourism does their own thing. And thanks to now having Minister Santos leading tourism and culture, we are hoping to achieve that. Events like tourism is something very, very important, and it should be at the forefront of government policy. It should be at the forefront of supporting local businesses, bringing tourism to Gibraltar, and that's been something that I've been advocating now for many, many years. Thank God now we have Minister Santos at the helm for tourism and culture, and we hope to be able to bring that to the forefront, because Gib events, the tourism, and Gib wide, as he calls it, is something very, very important for us.
It's nice to hear you talk about business there also, and I'll come back to that a bit later on in the discussion, because it is such a big part of our culture, business,
yes.
You know, so
yes, it is.
It's kind of one to explore, and hopefully we can. So obviously, you know, you've been sat here for 5 minutes, and I can already see your enthusiasm. How do you see yourself, like, how do you feel you influence culture in Gibraltar?
I think my influence has already been seen in some way or another, no? Because I've always said that there's more to culture than events. There's more to culture than putting a stage and a jumping castle in Casewitz and making the community believe it's culture. It's culture and entertainment is one thing. But when I became the CEO in 2018, my vision and my policy and my own manifesto was, let's bring cultural development and education into the picture. Because it's important to be able to promote our arts abroad. It is important to be able to foster and provide those opportunities for our artists, whether it's locally or going away internationally. Whether it's trying to produce cultural exchanges and art residencies where you have a mix of people, not only from Gibraltar but from around the world. And it is evident, one of our projects is very, very evident, which maybe your listeners may have seen, like the emphasis that I'm giving to Gibraltar and Morocco, the emphasis that I'm giving to Gibraltar and Tangiers, especially, where I've always said, and you can read the press statements, where I've always said how important it is. Cultures of opening many, many opportunities between Gibraltar and Tangier, let's expand it. Let's take sporting activities in Gibraltar and in Tangier and elsewhere in Morocco. Let's take tourism in and out of both countries. Let's invest business-wise. Yeah. With Morocco in the same way as Morocco invests in Gibraltar. You go to Tangiers just for a tea trip and just things like food and drink and many other products that they have is easy to have in Gibraltar. It's accessible. Yeah. So if we have issues with the frontier, which we hope we don't have, with God's blessing, we don't have, but Tangiers is that door. Yeah. And we call that project Isthmus, because it's a spiritual connection. We're not connected by land, but we are connected spiritually because of the history that also Tangier has with us.
Yeah, that's answered my next question, Seamus, because I was going to ask you, why do you believe culture is essential for community? And I think a lot of the listeners will agree. I think that culture, same as sport, opens a lot of doors for trade, for business. Mm-hmm. What role do you feel that businesses play in supporting and enriching life in Gibraltar?
Well, I think it plays a very, very important part. But taking back to what you just said, I think culture is an intrinsic part of any community and provides a high quality life, no? Quality of life for individuals, for groups, for people, for generations, no? And I think, like you said, the support of business should be an integral and fundamental part of creating that cultural fabric in Gibraltar, no? With the support of business, we could do so many, many things which we have still not been able to do. Okay. Personally, as Gibraltar Cultural Services CEO, that's my experience personally, you know? Because sadly, I don't think that we all think, so now that Minister Santos has come in, we all don't think about Team Gibraltar. I think we all need to think about Gibraltar and Team Gibraltar. And we should all be sitting around the table trying to see, well, we're going to do the Christmas Festival of Lights, or we're going to do Christmas Wonderland, which is one of my visions. I want to do Christmas Wonderland, like they do in Hyde Park, which they call it Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland, Winter Wonderland.
Bring it to Gibraltar, do something like that in Gibraltar, and everybody gets together for Christmas Festival of Lights, for the Christmas Wonderland, for whatever event. We all need to get together and see, well, how are the businesses going to support? Are we going to have late night shopping? Are we going to support financially? How is tourism going to support this particular event? Are we going to promote it in Spain? Because if we promote a product, whether it's culture, tourism, business, whatever, if we promote a product just in Cadiz and Malaga, we're talking about 2.9 million people in a 1 hour radius away from Gibraltar. Are we promoting it in the UK, where it's easy access from London Gatwick or Bristol or whatever to come to Gibraltar? That's why we should all be sitting around the table, in my personal opinion, and say, this is what we're going to do. And that's just only for Christmas.
There are many
events during the summer. We should be maybe all working together as well to see what are we going to do from October to March.
How does that happen? You know, I think, do you feel then that businesses could do more to support culture here?
Yeah, locally? Businesses should do more. So I think as many, many other people, many other sectors could also do more, which is not only business. No?
So how do we make that happen?
La gana. Sí. Hay tener gana. Yo siempre digo que you have to have the will and the want of, come on, let's all sit on the table, how are we going to support this? Everybody work together. Work together, because if business is the wrong thing and culture is the wrong thing, then things will work, but it needs to work in a better way than we, in my personal opinion, we're currently doing.
So maybe any listeners out there who are thinking of an idea or anything, could they get in touch with
you guys? People have ideas, and we always want to hear of new ideas. For example, one of our landmark events is Calentita. Calentita started with a few tents in Cajuns, then became 50 tents in Cajuns. Then we did, despite COVID, we did Jubilita in two different geographical sites. And we want to grow Calentita. We want people to come to Gibraltar.
It's got a great profile, you know. And actually, one of my previous guests was Owen, who is the chairperson of the GFSB as well, and he was one of the founders of it. And actually, just seeing that story kind of develop was one of the big successes. Like, when I think of events or things that interest me, and as a Gibraltarian writer with a passion for the arts and things like this, which is kind of very hyper-local content, some events and initiatives stand out for me. So things like Gyp Talks, the Literary Festival, recent explorations of Janito, I know there's going to be something in Vigo very soon. Those events and initiatives stand out to me. What are some of the highlights for you? Come on, I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
One of the best events that I think I organized myself, obviously it was a massive government event, supported by many, many government departments. But I think my favorite event was the Miss World Homecoming, when Kayana Alvarino won Miss World.
Classic moment
for Gibraltar. It was such a magical and special event. In terms of all my events that we currently organize, I think the Christmas Festival of Lights is one which is a massive highlight for me. For example, this year, the government decided to take the event to Cajuns as part of its government manifesto commitment. Because of the election being in October, we only had 3 weeks to organize it.
Wow.
but I think it's been the best event we've organized in terms of Christmas Festival of Lights. We packed Cajuns with 6,000 people. And I think that's what has been one of the highlights as well. No? I think in terms of the work that we're doing also in literature now, no, as well, we started, although there was the Gibraltar International Literary Festival, which is very, very well attended by locals, we organized as well Gibraltar Literature Week. We felt that it was important. It was my vision, which then my development team pushed the creative minds into it. We started Literature Week because we felt it was important to provide a platform to our locals. Because when you have locals, and you have local and you have international offers in the same platform, and then they don't have the exposure that they deserve, in my opinion, then that's why we started Literature Week, no? And that is an amazing event, Literature Week. The work that we do in schools, the work we do with the press, the work we do with an audience with is so popular because you have local authors
speaking about the books
and giving that exposure that they deserve. So that for me was an important work. The work now we're doing as well, which stemmed out thanks to Mark Sanchez with the National Book Council, stemmed through him because of part of Literature Week, and the work that we're doing, because he also did the Marlboro Man in a bilingual format, the importance of not losing Janito.
Okay.
And that's why we started the work with Cambridge.
Yeah.
We had a symposium in Cambridge, now we're doing a symposium in Vigo, we're doing one in Germany or in Switzerland next year. We still have to decide the venue, but it's important that our language is research. It's important that we get young people not forgetting what Janito's all about. That's why I've called for the education department to work with us to be able to do a Janito week or Janito day, at least in schools.
Yeah.
We're also launching, as part of World Book Day, I hope that next week or the next coming weeks, we finish printing our Janito dictionary, which we...
Great, back, it's back.
It's back, yeah.
Right, okay,
back.
Great.
We're launching.
And it's like a relic, you know? Yeah, so it's really good to just come back.
The first one was done by Mr. Cavilla.
Yeah.
The second one was done by Tito Vallejo. There was two versions done by Tito Vallejo. So what we've done is compile everything together and putting it together into one compilation. And I think it's important. And what we want to do extra is to give every young person in school a Janito dictionary, free of charge, obviously, for the kids. But I think it's important that we don't lose that Janito language. So that is a work that we're trying to do as part of development and education. Because, like I said before, there's more to culture than
organization. Of course, and like that, I asked you what was your favorite, and there's three big projects because they touch so many different things. Congratulations on the Christmas event because it was wild. It was really, really good to see events back, and I think that enthusiasm was great. And the more cultural things like Literary Week, it makes sense to kind of combine them as well for this year. So
that's what you said before. No? How can business support? Well, if we're organizing Christmas Festival of Lights, for example, and we're trying to do late night shopping because it also clashed with Black Friday, no? Black Friday. It clashed with Black Friday, no? Well, let's work together. How are we going to stay open and late at night?
Could response this year, could it have been better?
Yes, it could have been better. I know that we only have 3 weeks to organize it, but for example, the only entity that stayed open was Trends and his group had the 8 shops or 5 shops opened till late. We also had events apart from the Christmas Civil Rights. It was, the events were extended till 11 o'clock at night. We had the fair opening the day before, so that businesses,
a lot of people out,
to support
a lot of
businesses
people, yeah.
out. We had Christmas market by Campion Park, so we had events at King's Bachelor Centre, so we wanted to businesses to come on board. Yeah. So that is when we say, okay, let's start early with Christmas Festival of Lights.
Yeah.
Let's start early. We've got a package to show all the businesses what can be done. This is a program we want to do. We want businesses to come on board.
So, listeners, get involved. Like this year, you're not too late. Get in touch with Seamus and his team as well. It'd be great to see some of our businesses kind of open around that time. I know in the UK and different big cities like London, and you know, this is a big event. Yeah. They put DJs in store, or depending on what that market is, it'd be great to see some of that here.
We extended it not only for one day, then we did the second day as well, which are events we knew that businesses were going to be very busy till approximately 2 o'clock, but then we started events at Casements and throughout Main Street from 3 o'clock onwards. We had Bonnie M. Then we did Christmas Saturdays as well to support the business.
I'm tired even just like listening to them.
No, it's the drive. Yeah. It's the drive and the enthusiasm, which also Minister Santos brings, because he's been very, very, very much involved all his life in culture and the arts. And extending it now to tourism and business is very, very important for both of us. Because we want the best for Gibraltar and Gibraltar PC.
When it comes down to organising the cultural programmes and things that are happening, tell me about that process, the ideation, which is how do you come up with ideas or develop them? Tell me about that initial stage.
Yeah.
So do I have café, hablai?
Well, we always say that some people in the community think that VLs that it eventually is organized in one day or one night. In the night salon Loelos, they set up the whole event and it looks fantastic. No? For example, the Gibraltar Fair. Gibraltar Fair is a very, very important landmark event for us. But we've already started organizing the fair. What are we going to do different? You brainstorm on the table. When the event finishes, obviously, you do a debrief of how can it be improved for the next year. Because some of these events can be a copy and paste. Feria National Day,
your big bread and butter kind of events.
Yeah, the Shakespeare events that we do in May. We have a full program of events, as you very well know. But you sit on the table, how are we going to improve the event? What can we do different? It's really a brainstorm. And then the creative process comes into mind, especially, for example, Literature Week. What are we going to do this? What are we going to do this year? Are we going to do a pop-up library? Okay, how are we going to do it? And look, I can say I'm very, very blessed to have such an amazing team at Gibraltar Cultural Services, because obviously one's vision comes up with a magic wand, and it needs to be a group of people who are creative, who have a vocation.
You came back. You mentioned the word vocation. Why is that important in the work that you do?
You need to have a vocation. Look, our work is not a 9-to-5 job, and I will never expect people to be with us if they expect to have a 9-to-5 job, because you always have something to do. Just for example, the other day with the Isbos Tangier project, we started at 8 o'clock in the morning, but we went almost 11 o'clock at night because you're finishing finalizing the exhibition, doing press conferences, then in the afternoon you have the actual event, and then you're still hosting in the evening. So people need to have a vocation to be able to work in culture and tourism. People who lead businesses need to have a vocation. Luego, si tú no tienes ganas, in investing and in what you do. That's why I'm always very active, let's say. I'm always very active in trying to make sure that our community at large find out and know what GCS does. That's why you will always see GCS in the press every odd day.
Do you feel that they do? And could engagement from the community be better?
No, the engagement is good. I think the engagement is good. On the majority of cases, it's very, very positive. No, where everybody sees what we do in the community.
Yeah.
We're doing things, like you said before, we're doing things every day, whether it's an event, whether it's a cultural development program, whether it's in the Joe Magnuson Library, whether it's Book Gem, because there hasn't been a library in Gibraltar since the Gibraltar Bookshop closed when it was opposite the Supreme Court.
That's been an amazing addition back into the community, I'm sure.
We decided that it was important to invest in a library, even if it's a money loss exercise, because it's important that we have a bookshop in Gibraltar, in my personal opinion, again, no? And that was an important addition that we've done as well to our cultural fabric. The art galleries. We have three amazing art galleries in Gibraltar. The National Art Gallery in Gibraltar. Let's promote it more. Culture cannot do everything by itself. That is something that we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to come up around the table, whether it's businesses involved in the travel sector, whether it's culture, whether it's tourism. We've got street art tours. Our street art is vibrant, it's energetic.
So you need support there. So where are the kind of, if you had a top one or top three initiatives that you're running now that you would prioritize need for the business community from, what would they be? So what are the biggest opportunities, say?
No, the biggest opportunity, for me, the most important thing is promoting what we have. Promoting what we have as a product, whether it's, and here where tourism really plays an important part, because Gibraltar is not only about the caves and the apes.
What do you mean it's not?
It is.
No, of course.
But for example, there are many day trippers that come to Gibraltar that have maybe gone to see the caves and the apes, but we have many, many other things, whether it's a Moorish castle, or whether it's the National Art Gallery, whether it's going to the Garrison Library, whether it's going to see the World War II tunnels.
Yeah.
We've got many, many things that to offer. Look, one example that I give, is for people who ask me, bueno, ¿y por qué nos has hecho? I don't know. But one of the examples is we have amazing caves which are run by the Gibraltar Museum, no? Which is a Gorham's cave, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not accessible to the public. But in Portugal, you go to the Mangali Caves.
Right.
And you go to Mangali Caves, and you might not be able to get in, but you go with a paddleboard, or you go on a, no sé, hasta el dinghy, si quieres ir el dinghy. Pero, something like that. Come and see Gorham's Cave. Come and see. Yeah. I went to Sahara de la Sierra. My daughter did parachuting. From there, paragliding, or whatever it's called, and can we do that from up the rock and promote it as one of our products?
I see that you've got claro,
la idea y la gana.
Claro,
si la gana.
Sí, idea la tiene, gana también, pero I do think there are
people. Why is
this
getting one out?
Bueno, we'll see. So we'll know, like, if anyone has ideas, you've got another idea person here. Seamus, moving on a bit, like, you mentioned your team, your department. How many of you are there, like, now at GCS? How many?
Yeah, at the moment we're 34 members of staff, 34 as a whole. We have a team that is responsible for all cultural events in Gibraltar, or the majority of them, which are run and produced by Culture. Then we have a cultural development and educational team. The events are run, my head of events is Jovi Viñales. My head of development and education is Davina Barbara. Both amazing ladies who are so passionate as well about the work as well. And those departments are thriving. Then there are other areas that people don't see. We have an accounts and administration team. And we also have an operations team, which are all the time refurbishing all cultural facilities in Gibraltar. And then we have the facilities team that run all the cultural premises and venues in Gibraltar. For example, the Inns Hall, the Central Hall. We run 200 premises for the government of Gibraltar, for cultural groups, sporting associations and charities. So it's a massive team.
There's a lot there.
It's a massive team and lots of things going on.
Of course, and again, lots of things that people don't kind of appreciate that goes on behind the scenes. What's your leadership style?
Well, I'm going to tell you two things, I think. One of them is proactive. I'm very, very proactive. I like that my team are proactive too. But that is because, could be a weakness, but because I'm very demanding with myself. So I'm also demanding with everybody that's around me, you know? And then obviously, something that I learned at the Gibraltar Youth Service when I was a teenager. I joined the Gibraltar Youth Service in the early 90s, where I became a voluntary youth worker for about 10 years. There's where I learned all my events experience, which has helped me in my career. And being at the front line, I'm always at the front. I try to delegate. I need to trust my team, of course, but I always want to be in the front. I will not be behind the desk doing office work and let everybody else run. And that's how my team also work, because si hay que mover una mesa, I will be moving the table. If we have to move 100 chairs for a free or the city in the centre of town, I'm going to do
and
it.
And you expect your team to do the same.
And my team run with me. If I'm at the front, everybody runs with me. If you're sitting behind the desk, then there's where you have, in my opinion, there's where you will find force.
Seamus, not a lot. We're running out of time, so I've got a couple more questions. Eh? And I still have loads more, but no.
Mucho, bueno, no importa.
Que va, que va, que va.
Part two.
What are the two main things? One of them is kind of looking at the challenges facing Gibraltar, and I think we talked about it briefly. Border trouble, treaty, this perennial kind of issue and challenge that's for business, which is uncertainty. Does that uncertainty come through as a challenge for GCS, and if so, how?
No, for me, this issue with the front and all that, for me, is not a worry. We have already contingency plans for events to be able to continue in Gibraltar, whether it's bringing a fair from Morocco, or bringing a stage from Portugal, we will bring. that the events will continue in Gibraltar.
The show will go on.
Yeah, the show must go on. Come and see Freddie Mercury. Yeah. What for me is one of the biggest challenges that we face is always a venue. It's always a venue because we have our own venues. We have our own venues like I've already mentioned, the Germanicus Hall, the theatre, Intersol, Alameda Open Air Theatre, which belongs to Environment, but we also use. We have different venues around town, like K Street and the Piazza. But what happens when we want to do a major event? Where do you do it? The Victoria Stadium is going to be refurbished, and you want to bring an artist over. Where do you do it? You cannot use sometimes the Europa Sports Complex because it's used for sporting activities in general. And we also don't want to do major sport events, cultural events in an arena, and then have to tell the sporting fraternity that you want to close it down for 3 weeks because you're going to bring Nile Rodgers and Melodism.
Yeah.
No? So it's a balance, no? Yeah. So venues are always a major issue.
Venues and logistics, huh? Yeah, booking everyone in.
See.
How do you get around that?
How we get around that? There are different things that I've always advocated too. I've always called for a new state of the art cultural facilities, which we are already working on with the National Theatre Project. And then also, I also asked for a multi-purpose arena. There needs to be a multi-purpose arena in the same way that you have in many other countries around the world, no? Where you do all your events there.
Yeah.
So that we don't have to close down Tessitore Sports Hall or Europa Sports Complex or Special Olympics Hall as well, which is sometimes used for events. That is, for me, some of the solutions. But obviously, there needs to be investment into it.
But of course, that's a huge challenge. But you know, with everything you're running, you seem to be doing fine already.
Yeah, we try.
Seamus, we've talked a lot about work and kind of everything that's happening with GCS. Outside of work, what keeps you motivated?
My kids, for sure. Very blessed to have three children who are very involved like me in the community, who are very involved like me in sports. But then they have. They're very, doing very well in education, gracias a madre. And then obviously my football as well. I'm very, very active as well in the community, doing charity work, and my football as well. I run 16 football teams.
How do you get la de cosa, I guess? Do you must wake up at like 4 in the morning?
No idea. Pero sí. My friends call me Cinderella because I like to go to bed early.
Right, okay.
I wake up early. I'm more of a morning person, don't you know? Yeah. But yeah, that keeps me motivated. Keeps me going because what I've learned from the Gibraltar Youth Service as well, it's about the community service, providing a service to that community, which is one of the advices that I would give everybody, you know? When you do something, always do it without asking for anything in return. That's the advice that I would give anybody who wants to do any project, whether it's, especially when you're doing voluntary service and voluntary work, nunca pide nada a cambio. You always do it out de corazón, out of your goodwill, whether it's for culture, whether it's in sports, because that's what we have to try and do. I produced one of my ideas as when I came into CEO, which my development team do, is the Youth Arts Jamboree, because we have a duty to create those cultural leaders of tomorrow, those youth leaders of tomorrow, those heritage leaders of tomorrow.
Yeah, and surface that with the young people, right?
Yes, of course. That's why during February and March, our emphasis and our cultural projects are more geared for young people, because it's creating those leaders of tomorrow. Because when I look back in 10 years' time, in very time, well, who's going to be the next cultural leader in Gibraltar? Who's going to be the next Gibraltar's cultural director? And in the same way, how are those young people going to be involved in other projects, whether it's the Scouts, the Youth Service, Nautilus Project?
I think, I think the idea of industry, and I think you're not unique in the fact of trying to engage younger people in. You know, I think getting people inspired in whichever sector is super, super important. I know that there's a lot of work from the GFSB, Young Enterprise.
Yeah, the Young Enterprise.
And a lot of other things as well. So yes, absolutely. Seamus, the final one, and you've actually answered it, which was what advice would you give to someone who's starting out their career, or some advice that you've got that you couldn't have done without?
Well, the biggest advice that I was given is the one that I've already mentioned. Do things without asking for anything in return. That's the best advice that I was given by Robert Alban. And I've carried throughout my life. The same way I tell everybody in my team, the same way I tell every young people that wants to work with us, or anyone who wants to work with Gibraltar Cultural Services, or with me personally in any of my projects, is doing things without asking for anything in return. And also, as Gibraltar Cultural Services as well, offering those opportunities. We need to offer those opportunities. We need to export our art abroad, and do things without any financial gain, because there's more to culture than any financial gain. And providing those values, whether you're working with us as a subcontractor, whether you're part of the business industry, or whether you just go and attend an event, because everybody will be enriched in one way or another. No?
Well, brilliant, Seamus. Thanks for coming in, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope, like I've said before, that we are able to work with the business community at large and be able to produce more things together, because at the end of the day, it's about Team Gibraltar.
Brilliant, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
GFSB, Member Spotlight.
So this part of the show is where we invite one of our members to introduce their business. So MJ, it's great to have you here on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much, David. So I'm MJ from MJ Nutrition, and I work out of Radiance Clinic here in Gibraltar.
So tell me a bit about Radiance Clinic.
So Radiance Clinic is a fully licensed establishment, is fully licensed by the OFT and the Medical Board, and we offer a full range of aesthetics and holistic services, including a holistic GP, addictions therapist, counseling, and something like myself, which is a nutritional therapist. And I work as part of the Complementary Natural Healthcare Council, so I'm fully compliant as well and registered in the UK.
So tell me about your area of practice.
Yeah, so as a nutritional therapist, I support people basically in their health and wellness journey. I have a unique twist on it because I was a chef for 25 years. So I not only support people with various medical conditions, their medications, and knowing how to adjust their diet and lifestyle to have better health, but I can also make it more obtainable by giving them tips and tricks right at home in the kitchen so that they can actually walk away with a plan and be successful for basically for their life.
So how important, obviously you're going to be biased, but how important is nutrition to us functioning well?
Yeah, so people really don't realize that if they have low energy or fatigue, or maybe they're feeling depressed, like so many things actually come down to us looking after our bodies and feeding them. We may actually forget to eat some days, and we just don't see that impact on our health. Now, long-term, it can cause different symptoms, but even in a short-term, if you're not eating well, you can have headaches, you can be dehydrated, and all of that impacts both your work and your overall wellness.
Okay, so thank you. Last bit, because we're running out of time, because this is a mini segment, and I feel that we could have talked for a whole episode, so maybe we'll come back in a different season. But how can our listeners get in touch?
Yeah, so Radiance Clinic is located at 17 Turnbulls Lane, and we can be found on Instagram at Radiance Clinic. You can find myself at MJ Nutrition Lifestyle, and Radiance Clinic's phone number is 222-55730.
Thanks, MJ, and I hope to see you again sometime.
Thanks so much.
And that's a wrap for this episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast. Thank you to our guests, Seamus Byrne from Gibraltar Cultural Services and MJ Feek from Radiance Clinic. Thank you to the team at the GFSB, our sponsor, the Gibraltar International Bank, to Matthew for editing this so professionally each week, and to everyone who contributes to the project and keeps it going from strength to strength. I hope you enjoyed listening, and you can catch up on any episodes you've missed anytime you like. So it's a goodbye from me till next week. Until then, keep focused on your journey and reach for your goals. See you very, very soon.